American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, here with a special guest of mine, a really good friend. He's been on this show before, my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, numerous times. Indy 500 champ Alexander Rossi's also got his own podcast, but he's always a lot of fun to get on air. This one, we're going to keep it nice and short. He's got a tight window with 24 hours of Daytona, things like that. But yeah, we're going to drop this one, and you guys, I'm sure, are going to enjoy this. We'll have a little bit of long-form interview next week because I've got my good friend and one of the greatest supercross riders of all time, Ryan Dungey, right on the show. So looking forward to that. Make sure and go over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button. Check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, as well. Hit the subscribe button to that. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. And while you're there, leave some ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts. Much appreciated. Before we jump into this interview, though, got to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners right here on Project Action. Do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It is Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Also want to remind you guys as well, you need some help in the mail department below the waist. My good friends at Manscaped, they got you covered. That is right. If you need some help down there, yeah, you know what? A lot of us do. Hit up manscaped.com and use the coupon code JimBeaver, and it's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. And yes, with that, we're going to roll into this interview with Alex Rossi. I'd like to welcome my good friend and, I don't know, pretty semi-regular guest throughout the year, Alex Rossi, man. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. Happy to be back, man.
Yeah, well, hopefully this year we're talking a whole hell of a lot more racing than we did last year. I feel like last year we talked some iRacing and a whole bunch of stuff, whiskey, which is always fun. We can always talk about whiskey, but I'm hoping this year we get to talk more racing, man.
Yeah, me too, and more positive racing-related news than what was last year. So just generally different than last year. How's that sound?
Yeah, definitely generally different. I like that. So on a positive note, let's talk a little bit about Sebring, because in some positive news, Alex Rossi, one of the top drivers from the test. How was that? How was it getting back behind the wheel, buddy?
Yeah, it was good, man. I mean, obviously, you know, it was a pretty condensed off season with the schedule changes last year. So it wasn't as long as we usually have out of the car, which I'm not going to complain about in the slightest. So great to be back. Great to kind of put 2020 behind us for the first day officially. And it was kind of a unique day. I was obviously doing the IndyCar test and had a full day of that, but also it was day one for me with Wayne Taylor Racing in the Acura DPI car. So kind of was doing double duty and driving both cars, but that's a good problem to have.
Well, here's a question, because you know, obviously DPI cars are insane. I love looking in the cockpits of those things, and them in Indy cars. I mean, there is a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences. When you're doing double duty like that, I mean, how tough is it to adjust your driving style, bouncing back and forth?
I mean, not really. I have so much time in both cars, right? That it's just, as soon as you get in that different environment and different cockpit, you kind of just revert to what you're doing. I mean, I could ask you the same question. When you go from driving, you know, a side-by-side to a truck, like, it doesn't take you any time at all, right? So it's kind of the same thing. You know, had one of them been completely new to me, it's a different answer. But, you know, I've had now 5 years with the IndyCar, and know, this is going on year three with the DPI car, and they're both relatively unchanged for the most part. So pretty straightforward, and it was a good day on both sides of Sebring Raceway.
Yeah. So talking about, we've got the 24 hours of Daytona coming up. I know this is kind of a big weekend. They've kind of shifted things and something kind of new. Obviously, you've got a great team around you with Taylor and Albuquerque and obviously Helio and yourself. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, they've got the race before the race now. You know, they've got that 100-minute race to determine, starting positions. I mean, how are you guys approaching that? Obviously, you can't do a bunch of driver swaps, things like that, you know. But, you know, what's that change, you know, with your guys' plans and approach to the 24?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't really know that we know that answer yet, because the reason they're doing it is because in sports car racing, you have what's called BOP, which stands for balance of performance. And they usually use the ROAR, which is kind of the weekend 3-day test, before the race to kind of find what changes they're going to make to the fuel capacity, the weight, the power of each individual car to kind of even them all out. And so what you have with that is you have a lot of teams playing games and manufacturers playing games to try and hide their true performance, so that they don't get too hefty of a performance penalty. So IMSA's idea of it is to, if there's a points paying race to set the grid, then you're going to see everyone's kind of full potential. I don't know that that's going to happen or not. I think we're all kind of waiting to see how the days leading into it progress and kind of what the lap times are at that point compared to what they've been in the past. But yes, it's certainly a new obstacle for everyone to overcome. Cause quite frankly, I mean, the 24 hours of Daytona is our Indy 500. So it's the most important race of the year for them. And it just so happens to be their first race. So, it'll be interesting to see how it goes Sunday afternoon for sure.
Yeah. Well, and you know, with something like the 24, you know, obviously, you know, you want to be on the front row at the Indy 500. You want to be on the pole, right? But, you know, if you start, you know, say in the third row, fourth row, something like that, like, yeah, it sucks because you want to be on the front row. But truthfully, it's a 500-mile race. Like, it's not like you're starting back in 33rd. But something like the 24 hours of Daytona, I mean, starting on the pole or starting a little bit back in the field, I mean, you know, does it matter quite as much, Alex? Because it is, 24-hour-long race, right? You got plenty of time to make up a little bit of ground.
Yeah, it is the most irrelevant qualifying in motorsports history, I think, outside of Le Mans, probably. It's just a pride thing. And, you know, some teams and manufacturers, you know, for them, it's really important to have pole for their sponsors and kind of the media leading into the race. Like that's a huge incentive for them. And so like, that's fine. For other teams, it's like, yeah, I mean, we're just going to make sure that all of our preparation and time spent on track is purely for building the race car, and a single lap pace doesn't matter to us type of thing. So it really depends on the team you're with, the manufacturer that you're driving for, and kind of their own needs that they need to have met. I can tell you in the past that, you know, at Acura Team Penske, you know, 95% of what we did was purely focusing on the race car. But this race is so crazy. I mean, you can be lapped down at one point and still come back to win the race. So, yeah, I mean, that's a roundabout way of saying that qualifying is completely irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, you know, talking about the race car, you know, obviously all of you guys have different driving styles, and this is something, you know, I've never really asked anybody before. And we've had a lot of, you know, guys that are professional, you know, endurance and sports car racers, but, you know, being that, you know, you got four guys, four different driving styles, all racing the same car. I mean, you know, how does that affect you as a driver? Because obviously you're not getting the optimal setup that Alex Rossi wants. You're getting something that kind of works for everybody, right?
For sure. And that's where it's such a different mindset to kind of be an endurance sports car driver than really anything else in racing. So it's the only form of motorsports where, like, if you're missing two or three or four tenths an ultimate lap pace, like, no one cares. right? If that were to happen in IndyCar, like your job's on the line type of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's you're kind of judged and your performance level is perceived based on your lap average over kind of an hour and a half stint, right? And that takes into account traffic, GT traffic, that takes into account kind of managing potentially double stinting tires, so running a set of tires twice for two fuel loads. That's what sports car teams care about, is what is your stint average? You know, there's plenty of guys that can go out there and rip a lap off that's two or three tenths quicker than anyone, but then their average goes crap because you can't drive at 101% for 24 hours. Like, it's not feasible. So in reality, having your perfect car doesn't really matter, because you're not trying to get that last tiny bit of performance out of it. You're looking for a platform that's consistent for everyone, that no one hates. And that's really the main goal. No one's going to walk away with it being like, oh, that's the best car I've ever driven. It's friendly to drive. It's forgiving. It works well in the night and freezing temperatures. And it also works well in the heat of the day when it's 78 degrees and it's good in traffic. That's all you're looking for. And if you can have that and a mistake-free race, you'll probably win.
Yeah, I never really looked at it. It's kind of more of a speed over time thing, as you know, instead of the short bursts. But interesting, I don't know. Good shit. I don't know. I never really looked at it that way. But let's talk a little bit about IndyCar. Obviously, you know, 2020 season, Alex, you and I have known each other for a long time. I mean, you've been pretty upfront. You know, it wasn't what you wanted out of 2020. It was a weird year for everybody. And I feel like even in professional sports, you've got guys that are at the top of their game. And some years, it's just not a good year for them. And I feel like for so many different reasons, last year was that. You know, but heading into 2021, obviously, you got to have the same prospects you did heading into last year, right? Win the championship.
Oh, 100%. The motivation's higher than ever. I mean, that was the worst year I've ever had in professional motorsports last year. So, I mean, in reality, I have to remind myself that in the big scheme of things and everything that's going on globally, like, it's kind of irrelevant. So I don't really need to get too worked up about it. I'm very thankful that motorsports kind of still exists, and that the teams and series and tracks and promoters kind of found a way to navigate kind of the current climate that we're in and hopefully on the other side of it. So 2020 ultimately is not going to be a year that's remembered for IndyCar racing. So if you're going to have a bad year, that's the one to have it. So yeah, I mean, we've put it behind us. We learned a lot, and I think that's the main thing to take out of it. It would be very unfortunate to have such a down year and not get anything out of it. I think we as a team reevaluated a lot of things that we were doing and how we were doing them. And I think kind of the last 3-4 events of the year, you know, we kind of got our stride back and we were on a run of 5 podium finishes in a row. And quite frankly, had St. Pete won until I made a pretty big mistake and kind of threw it away. So the team got back to the point that they needed to be at the start of the year. It just took us an extra 4 or 5 months to get there. But, you know, coming into 2021, I feel like that momentum's still on our side and we're still very aggressive and making sure that we've rectified our issues. So I feel very, very optimistic about this year.
Yeah. So looking at this year, I mean, what do you think about this calendar? Obviously, we've already got some adjustments. We got St. Pete getting pushed back to the second race of the year. We got a couple of Texas rounds before Indy. I mean, I guess looking at it, you know, do the oval rounds, is that going to help you guys for Indy? I mean, we went, what was it, last year? You know, things have been shuffled, and we went where we didn't have ovals before the Indy 500. So having a doubleheader at Texas actually help things, you know, heading into Indy?
Maybe. I mean, not so much from like a, it's not going to help your performance at Indianapolis, but where it's good is it gets all the guys like back into like speedway racing. You know, it's such a different form of driving. You know, the respect that you have kind of, and then margin you have to give guys when you're fighting is a lot different than a road course. So it's good from that standpoint. But ultimately, like, if you're fast at Texas, it does not mean that you're going to be good at Indianapolis. Like, it's a whole different car, whole different ballgame from that standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good thing to be racing at those speeds. before doing it for the big show.
So, you know, that being said, I mean, it's going to be kind of weird. I mean, obviously, I guess it's, I can't say weird anymore because you had Indy in August. You know, now we got Long Beach in September. Like, to me, this world is just like in this crazy vortex right now. But, you know, I guess we've all become accustomed to things that now aren't, we shouldn't be accustomed to, right?
That is true. Yes, I never thought I'd feel normal wearing a mask, but here we are.
Here we are. That's what I said. You know, at some point after all this is said and done, people are going to be sitting on mountains of masks, and all these, you know, stores are going to have mountains of masks, and everybody's going to be like, what the hell do we do with all these, you know?
For sure, yeah. Somehow make kindling out of it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. One big bonfire somewhere or something. Sure. So, well, before we let you go, man, you know, so what's the next week look like for you? Obviously, we've got, you know, we've got, you know, you're on track there. You know, this weekend we got that 100 minute qualifying race, and then you almost got an entire week off. You know, leading up to the 24 hours. You know, what's like next week? What are you filling time with in that? You know, obviously it's not all time on track.
Yeah. So I mean, kind of tomorrow's the main like primary media day for the season for IMSA. So it's a busy day, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday we're on track. I'm planning on going home to Indy kind of Sunday night through Wednesday just to kind of reset and break things up a little bit. And then I'll be back down here Wednesday for kind of all the pre-event stuff. And then, I mean, it's really Thursday. You're back at it again. And then the wild thing is Monday. So the day after the 24 hours of Daytona, I'm back at Sebring, back in the Indy car. So it's awesome. Like I love that this kind of 2.5 weeks is just driving. I feel lucky to be able to do both of these championships. So, hopefully, you know, everything goes smoothly and we can get a 24-hour win. We've been close in the past, so hopefully this year's our year.
All right. So the most important question of the day to cap things off, man, you found any new bourbons during the off season that are really good?
I don't know that there's any new, like we're just on the same program, pretty much everything from Buffalo Trace we're a fan of. I did find a 27 year Heaven Hill bottle that was released this year, but I won't open it, so I won't get to taste it. So we're in that game of like, do I drink this or do I save it for another day? It's a cool hobby to have. There's now like 5 different IndyCar drivers in this like local Indy bourbon group that we have. So it's just an excuse for us all to hang out and spend some time together.
Yeah. Well, I actually did the end of last year, and they signed for the entire year this year. I signed a bourbon sponsor, Fistful of Bourbon. So when I signed that, I asked the guys, because they send me pretty much whatever product we want, and I can have it mailed to people. So I'm actually going to have some bourbon drop shipped to you guys at some point for your bourbon club. I'm going to have them send a couple of bottles out or something like that. Because
I love that. That'd be awesome. We will love that. We'll do some blind tasting on it, and we'll let you know what we think.
That would be perfect, man. But I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. Always fun to catch up. Good luck at the 24. I am sure in the next month or two we'll be catching up one way, shape, or form, man.
Yes, man. That sounds good. Thanks for having me back.
Alex Rossi, always a fun time. Thank you, Alex, for taking the time to come onto the show. Once again, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button. Please leave a rating while you're there. I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. Next week, Ryan Dungey right here on the show. And don't forget, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. It is that easy. Also, manscaped.com. Use the coupon code JimBeaver, and it's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping, manscaped.com. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. See you next time with Ryan Dungey right here on Project Action on Podcast One.